Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
So, there's this priest who was in Ireland. He was the same parish for over 50 years. And he retired, and his parish wanted to bless him, and so his bucket list was always, he always wanted to go to America, and he always wanted to visit Las Vegas. And so they paid for it, and so he got his ticket. When he landed in LaGuardia, he was going through customs, and the customs guy looks at his passport, looks at the man, looks at him, finally he goes, Elvis, I knew you didn't die. I never believed that you died. Elvis, it is so good to see you again, Elvis. I'm so glad that you're coming out in public again. Oh, Elvis, I was one of your biggest fans. And the Irish priest, of course, in his Irish brogue, which I don't do too well, he said, you're crazy, man. I'm not Elvis. High voice. And they stamped his passport. He went through. He landed in Las Vegas. And when the taxi cab driver was putting his bags in the trunk, he looked at him weird. And he kept looking at him in the rear view mirror. Finally, he said, Elvis, I knew you were alive. I never believed it when they said you died, Elvis. I'm one of your biggest fans. So good to see you back in Las Vegas. And the priest looked at him, he said, are you all crazy? I'm not Elvis. But he noticed that the taxi driver was texting something, pulls up to the Bellagio, and the manager comes out and meets them at the taxi. And he sees him and he goes, Elvis, it is so good to see you. Welcome back to Las Vegas. Elvis, we've got the presidential suite reserved for you. It's 5,000 square feet. It's got glass, 10-foot glass to, you know, ceiling to floor glass, panoramic view on the house, Elvis. We're going to send up all your favorite foods. We're going to send anything you want to drink, Elvis. You just mention it. It is yours. Here's $10,000 worth of chips that you can gamble with. If you run out, Elvis, you just let me know. It's so good to see you, Elvis. And the priest looks at him and goes, thank you. Thank you very much. You say, no. What did that have to do with anything? Here's the deal. We take the gospel very seriously. We take the message of the gospel very seriously. We take reaching people very seriously. We do not take ourselves that seriously. And we think it's good to laugh in church. So that's a good place to go. I want to talk about a subject today that probably has touched all of us, whether you've walked with the Lord for just a few weeks or a number of years. And that is, what do you do when God seems distant? What do you do when God just seems like he's far away? And maybe for some of you, you have felt like, you know, Alan, I've never really sensed I was close to God. I mean, I believe in him. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I'm faithful to him. But I can't say I've ever really felt close to him. Or maybe you had a time in your life where you did feel close to him. And then things changed, and now you feel like he's very distant. So wherever you are, I got good news for you. Wherever you are, you can come closer to God. Wherever you are in your walk, you can have a closeness to him. We're going to talk about that this morning. But what do you do when God feels distant? Now, think about this. What causes distance in just a natural relationship? Well, you know, sometimes a physical proximity can make a difference. If you're Joy and I for a number of months had a long distance relationship. You got to be very intentional about making those work. And long distance can sometimes put a strain on a relationship. So if you're very far apart, that's why it's easy sometimes to lose touch with people when they move away and you don't stay in touch. I think that's been one of the benefits of social media, Facebook, that's helped. And people have been able to keep up. But distance can, proximity, Joy and I, before the days of cell phones, when Joy and I first started dating, right after they invented electricity, we would call each other, that's when long distance, anybody remember when long distance phone calls used to cost an absolute fortune? And so we would just call and ring once. I would ring her once and she would ring me once. and that said, hey, I'm just thinking about you. You say, well, that's stupid. Well, we're married for 43 years. It obviously worked. But so it's the idea, though it's a long-distance relationship, we're just trying to stay in touch. Another thing that can cause a relationship to feel distance is distractions, where you just get busy. And you get busy with life, and sometimes when you get busy, it's hard to focus. And you just got so many things going on and focusing on relationship. This is why we have marriage classes. This is why you'll see people do marriage retreats or any kind of retreat. The beauty of a retreat is you take a time away to refocus. And you refocus on a marriage or you refocus on your relationship with the Lord. It's helpful. So distractions can come in there. And then there's difficulties and dilemmas. When things get really tough and difficult, a lot of our time and energy and focus goes on fixing problems. And so in focusing there, we lose that sense of connection and relationships can seem distant. But it's interesting that the very same principles apply to our relationship with the Lord. Maybe think about it. You go through a difficulty or a dilemma. Now I realize sometimes it's the difficulties that push us toward the Lord. But sometimes you can just go through a difficulty or a dilemma, and you're just doing everything you can to get that solved, and you can kind of lose touch. For me, I find one of the biggest ones is distractions. Well, you just are so busy. And I know everyone's busy. Everyone's busy. You ask people, are you busy? Yeah, we're busy. But you've ever had this one of those days where you get up, and it's one thing after another. And it's just one, and you come to the end of the day and you go, man, I hadn't even said good morning, Lord. I haven't had time to even focus on my relationship with the Lord. That's why I love early mornings. And they're the most controllable of my day. Some of you are night owls, but for my day, the early mornings are the most controllable time. And so before life just jumps on you. But what about distance? Well, the beautiful thing about distance is God hasn't moved. So we're the ones that can come closer to Him. We're the ones that can move closer to Him. You say, well, how in the world do I even do that? How do I get closer to God? Well, it's like any other relationship. One, you begin to hear His words to you. That's why we encourage you to read your Bible. Here at the Ark, if you don't know, if you're new, everybody reads Bible 365. We all read Bible 365 5 days a week. Everybody does it. It's what we do. But the beautiful thing is, we're hearing God's words. And then it's good to pray. You're just talking to the Lord. It's good to hear from Him. It's also good to talk to Him. And so you're talking to Him in prayer. And by the way, you don't have to use fancy words when you pray. The Lord knows how you talk. There's no sense in trying to disguise yourself by speaking in some kind of foreign King James English. You don't have to do that. He knows you. And so you can talk to Him. And then here's another thing. How you talk about Him is really important. And this is where I feel like a lot of times we don't focus. We don't talk about the Lord like, I'm close to the Lord, the Lord loves me, we're good. We often hear people say things like, I'm going through a dry season, it's dry, or, you know, I'm in the valley. You want to come out of the valley. And talking the valley and talking how dry you are and talking how far away God seems is actually not helping you draw closer. Let me give you a verse. That's really good. One of the things I've noticed about David in the Psalms, my goal this year is to read through the Psalms, all the Psalms, 12 times this year. And so I'm on my way, but here's what's been helpful. As I've been reading this, you begin to realize what kind of relationship David had and how David talked about the Lord. Look at this here. This is David speaking. He said, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. He's not talking about a person. He's talking about God. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. Would you leave it there just for a second? Those are things that we can say. Lord, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You are guiding me with your counsel. You will receive me to glory. It's good for me to come close to you. Let me tell you something. Let me help you with this. Coming close to God is not just for the super spiritual or the super, you know, or people like pastors and people like that. And you're like, well, you know, I'm just a regular person. Let me tell you something. Coming close to God works for everybody. And coming close to God won't make you weird. It will make you wonderful. Yes. Coming close to the Lord, I've never had a couple come sit in my office and go, you know the problem is? I'll tell you what the problem is. He has become a lot closer to God, and it is causing problems in the relationship. Nobody says that. And so, listen, coming closer to God, it'll make you great. Well, let me tell you, there's a lady named Betty Tucker. She's in the Chicago Memorial, Children's Memorial Hospital in Chicago, Illinois. They did a little piece on her, Chicago Tribune did, about 2008. She'd been there for 43 years. She did the night shift. She was a night shift cook. They called her Miss Betty. Miss Betty Tucker. She's had a beautiful smile. And Miss Betty Tucker, one of her employees said, if you need life, she's the one that will bring it. She worked in a hospital where when she would be driving to the hospital, she would pray. She would say, oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to be dealing with today, tonight, but I'm going to trust you to guide me through. She said the night they did the piece on Miss Betty Tucker, she said it was, she had talked with a mother whose three-year-old son had fallen out of a second-story window. She had talked with another mother whose son was going through leukemia and dealing with treatment. She talked with another mother, same night, whose 18-year-old boy had just dealt with about 8 hours of brain surgery. And Miss Betty was the kind that someone said, if you would come to Miss Betty and she'd say, how are you doing? She'd greet everyone. How are you doing? They say, it's a bad day. She'd say, don't lose hope. Someone else, she'd talk to the nurses. They say, it's a bad day. Miss Betty said, I know, but I'm right here for you. I'm going to get you through. And they did the story on Miss Betty Tucker, a cook in a hospital. And they showed her praying over her food. And she said these words. She said, I'm a praying lady. She said, every day when I come in, she said, I pray every night. I pray. I start at the basement and I pray for every floor, every room, every child, every family. I pray for the doctors. I pray for the nurses. And even the Chicago Tribune said, she brings a sense of the divine into that kitchen where you step in there and there is some life in there. Let me tell you guys, when you come closer to God, you don't become a problem. You become a resource for people and a help for people because you got something to give them. Coming closer to Him. You can do it. It's available for all of us. I'm going to show you a lady in the Bible who you would think would never, never be able to come close to the Lord, that the Lord was so distant from her, so far away. And yet she did. And if she did, we can. Story's found in Matthew. Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and urged Him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But He answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. She said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. She was a woman who had no Jewish background. She had no covenant with God, no relationship. She hadn't been to synagogue. She'd never been to temple. She didn't know anything about the Mosaic law. All she knew was there's a guy named Jesus, and He was good, and He was healing people, and He was her answer. And so she came out of that region. It doesn't tell us anybody else came. He was in the area north of Galilee. It was not the Jewish area, but this woman found Him and began. She sought Him out, and she began to cry out to Him. Listen, she had nothing going in her favor. She was a woman, and she was non-Jewish. And she's crying out to Him, oh, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. She's crying out. And she had an opportunity to be offended and quit. Because Jesus did not answer her a word. He didn't say anything. Now that would have been enough to go, oh, really? Oh, that's how it is? Okay, I'm gone. And then the disciples. She came to the disciples and she's crying, get me to Jesus. Can you get me? In fact, the disciples never came to the Lord and said, Lord, would you help this poor lady? I mean, she's got a problem. Would you help her? They're like, Lord, would you send her away? She is crying out after me. How many of you know that's another opportunity to get upset? Jesus won't talk to you, and now these disciples are not helping you. But here's one thing I love about this lady. She keeps making adjustments, and she keeps coming. And when she gets before the Lord, here's the adjustment she made. She finally stopped yelling, and she worshiped Him. She worshiped Him. She said, Lord, help me. And Jesus' answer has always puzzled people, because He looked at her and went, it's not good to take the children's bread and give it to the little dogs. How many of you know that's typically not going to sit well with most people? You just got called a little dog. And in that day, the Jews would call the Gentiles dogs. And Jesus was indicating that healing was available for the covenant children, not for those who are outside of the covenant. That would have been a good time for her to be offended. And by the way, listen, whenever you see Jesus do something that you don't understand, you know the best thing to do is go, you know, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm on your side. Whatever you do is right. You have never missed it. You were perfect. You were sinless. If you did that, it was for a reason. And He told her that. And instead of getting upset, she just, in true humility, she said, yes, Lord, you're right. I'm a little dog. But she said, even the little dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Even the dogs get the crumb. She humbled herself. She could have been so offended. She could have quit. She could have said, this was just a wasted trip. But she was willing to say, Lord, I acknowledge that you are greater. I acknowledge that you are better than I am. And so I acknowledge you're the Lord and I'm not, but I get the crumbs. And Jesus looked at her and go, girl, you got some faith. I want to tell you that. He said, let it be to you as you desire. She went home and her daughter was healed. So many opportunities. It seemed like God was so far away from her, but she adjusted and she kept coming. We can learn from her. What do you do when God seems distant? What do you do when it just feels like, man, I just feel like I'm not close to the Lord. It feels so distant. Let me give you some things that'll help you. They've helped me. Here's the first one. Choose to believe God is great and good to you. Any of you ever taught that prayer when you were little? God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. That's not a bad prayer. Believing God is great and God is good to you is so important because what we believe is real important. In fact, in Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 6, this is where the author of Hebrews is writing. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You got to believe that God is great, that God is greater than anything you're dealing with, that God is greater than all. The Old Testament, when they would pray, oftentimes they would start with, God, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. That was more than a phrase. That's a reminder that God, you're the one that created this. He is great. He is greater than anything we're dealing with, and He's the one who created us. So it would not be out of place to say, Lord, thank you. You made everything I can see, and you have made me. You are great, and you are good. And I just bless you. God is great. His power is great. I've always been, I'm YouTube. I've always liked watching the power of nature. Tornadoes. YouTube is as close as I ever want to get to a tornado. But I've always been amazed at tornadoes. Here's something else that has caught me is these waves. These guys that ride these waves, they do tow-in surfing. And they ride these waves that are 50, 60, 70, 80. Some 100 feet tall. And you see those waves and just the sheer size of them, you're going, whoo! And yet Psalms 93:4 says, Lord, you are mightier than any wave. You are mightier than the waves of the sea. We got a God who's great. And it's good for us to go, God, you are great. I believe you're great. I believe you are powerful. I believe you are strong. And God, I believe you are good. I believe you are good. The Bible says we have to believe He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. So seek Him. What's that mean, to seek Him? That means you have a desire for Him. You seek Him. It's well known that I have no skill with my hands. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows I can't build anything, and I pretty much can't fix anything. I have one skill around the household. Well, actually two. Whenever the kids threw up or the dog throws up, Joy cannot handle it. I'm the vomit cleaner in the house. You got to have one that can do it. It's me. The other thing is I can unclog a toilet. I am a master at unclogging a toilet. You say, that's it? That's all you got? That's all I got. When something breaks in my family, Joy lets me know only because she's about to call somebody who can fix it. So for me, Joy has never walked into the room and seen me on my laptop going, "Hey, honey, what are you looking at?" I've never said power tools. I've never sought for power tools. I don't look for power tools. I have no interest in power tools. They would sit in my garage and do nothing. I have no desire there. But how many of you know whenever you're seeking a car, you can get on the internet and you can seek and you can look and you can seek and you can look, and the more you look, the hunger you get. Seeking God is the same way. This is why we encourage you to read your Bible. This is why I encourage you to come to church. What are you doing? You're in a way, what you're saying is, "God, I'm seeking you. And you're a rewarder of those who seek." God, you're good, and you're good to me. You're good to me. A lot of times people have a hard time going, how do I just seek God and have a hunger for God? Let me give you something to help you. This is a great verse. This is, again, David talking. He said, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." Did you catch that? That's a lot like he's a rewarder of those that seek him. In other words, if you just simply have a heart for God, you draw close to him. He'll come close to you. Now, if you say, "Well, I'm just not hungry for God." No, this is why you're here. This is why you watch. This is why you pray. This is why you read. Because the more you do that, the more you focus there, that's where your hunger is. Have you ever watched a cooking show and you weren't hungry until you watched the cooking show? And then you're watching a cooking show going, "Man, I am starved. We need to eat something around here." Why? Because you focused on something, and when you focused on that, your hunger grew. The more you begin to focus on God, the more you realize my hunger for him is growing. And when my hunger for God grows, man, that makes a difference. That means I'm going after him. If you're far away, you can come closer. When God seems distant, you can come closer. But you got to tell him, "Lord, you are great and you're good to me, and I am seeking you because there's no one gooder than you are to me." Here's the second thing. This will help you. Make it more about God than you. I was in the 1960s and growing up in my hometown in Greensboro, North Carolina, we had a McDonald's, and that was a real big deal. This was the McDonald's before they were even, this was a walk-up McDonald's. They didn't even have covered seating. It was McDonald's, and everyone thought that was great, but Burger King came to town. And when Burger King came to town, I was a fan. Because Burger King said this, "Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. Have it your way. Have it your way at Burger King." I'm like, yes, amen. Hallelujah. Have it my way at Burger King. Because I can't get McDonald's to take those stinking little onions off the hamburger, but Burger King will take it off. And that was their whole motto, your way. They're still doing that. I think their motto now is, "You rule." Wow, I rule the fast food world. No, you rule. There's a sermon in that. But anyway, so much of things are about us. And we make it about us. And God, I feel distant from you. And God has got, listen, Jesus taught us something different. He taught us to put God first. Remember, seek the kingdom of God first. As opposed, we're so quick to go, "God, and I have this need in me." Look how Jesus taught us to pray. The disciples said, "Teach us to pray." He said, "In this manner, pray. Our Father in heaven," our Father in heaven, that's our relationship. "Hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Hadn't even gotten to us yet. "I'm acknowledging you as my heavenly Father. I'm acknowledging that you are holy and you are great." We sang it this morning. Holy, holy. Our God is holy. And we're saying, "God, you are holy. You are great. You are awesome. Your kingdom is what will last forever. Your will being done on the earth. Now give us." The "give us" comes later. And the focus is on him than you. When my daughter had gone through a horrible relationship, when she came off of it, she really didn't want to date. We were encouraging her to get back in the game. So she signed up on a Christian dating site. Joy and I had the most fun with that Christian dating site that we've ever had. You know, because she would come home from work, we would come home from work, and we would look. And my middle daughter, I'm biased, but she's a cutie. And she would get all these guys interested in her. I wrote back everything that she said. I wrote all of it. I said, we're going to find out where these guys are. I wrote, hey, listen, you don't know this, but in 1980, I won the Miss Charm North Carolina Beauty Pageant Essay Contest. I was dating a girl who was in the thing. She said, I have to write an essay. I wrote the essay for her, word for word. They announced the winner of the essay contest, and it was the girl I was dating at that time. I'm like, I won a beauty contest essay contest. That is great. So I'm writing all of Christina's guys that are talking to her, and man, we're weeding them out left and right. No, yes, no. But she would go on the date, and I said, here's the deal. I said, you need to find a guy who asks you questions about you. It's quiet. You single people, listen to me. If you're on a date, let me just talk. Let me talk to you like a dad. If you date someone and all they do on their first date is talk about them, take a pass. Do what good fishermen do. Catch and release. Catch and release. Catch and release. You don't need someone who's like, hey, enough about me. What do you think of me? No. That doesn't work. You need, and now we would tell Christina, you need to find someone who shows an interest in you. If all they're doing is talking about themselves, that's giving us an indication right there. I said, it's all about them. And thank God, man, we caught and released a lot. But thank God she's been married 10 years to a fine guy, and they're still going strong. So, but the idea is, we know inherently it shouldn't be all about us. And when it comes to God, it should not be all about us. It should be about our Heavenly Father. Now, I've talked about praising God and giving him praise. And I think a lot of times people are like, I don't know how to do that. And if you didn't grow up in a home, maybe, I'm sure in Justin and Mary Beth's home, there's lots of praise because they're musicians. And so they're praising and worshiping. But maybe you didn't grow up in a home like that. I didn't. And you're thinking, I really don't know. How do I praise God? Well, one, you can take the music that we sing and you can sing that to the Lord. But I always tell people, if you don't know what to say, borrow David's words. And so here's a great psalm. You can take this psalm and you can take it and you can praise God with it. Psalms 145. I will extol, I will praise you, O God, my God, O King. And I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So you can take those words, and you can borrow David's words, and you can just take those words and praise God with it. So don't say, well, I don't know what to do. Just take the psalm and say, Lord, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. I'll speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. I say, Lord, thank you that you are good to me. You are good to all. Your tender mercies are over all your works. I tell him that about this church. I say, Lord, this is your work. Your tender mercies are over all this work. So what are you doing? You're just taking God's word and you're praising him and you're making this about him. And you begin to do that. What you're doing is, and you may not recognize it, you're drawing closer to him. But he said, if you draw close to him, he'll draw close to you. And you can begin to sense that God's real, God's presence. You'll begin to sense we're close. So if you felt like God's been distant, it doesn't have to stay that way. It can change. But let me just encourage you with this. Here's the last thing. Make adjustments, but don't quit. So, I've been trying to live this Christian life. I just don't feel like I'm doing a good job. Listen, don't quit. Keep praying. Keep reading. Keep worshiping. Keep coming to church. Keep doing the right things. Keep serving. Keep being faithful. Just don't quit. Because if you'll stay in it, you'll win. Because here's the beautiful thing. I'm not running your race. You're not running mine. But you can come close to the Lord and have a wonderful relationship with him. And he can become more and more real to you. So, Alan, if you arrive there, I know you're married to Joy, and like Joy, she lives on a cloud. No, she does not. She lives in a house. But I've watched a little girl that I married years ago who couldn't even hardly tell you, called the Psalms the Pislam. She didn't know anything. To someone who's grown closer and closer to God. You can too. She didn't know much, but now she knows a whole lot. Now she'll give me scriptures, and I'm like, where's that in the Bible? She'll show me. I'm like, okay. But she's grown, and so can you. It's a great story that of a man named Cliff Young. 1983, in Australia, they had what they called an ultra marathon. It was a race from Melbourne to Sydney, 573 miles. Interesting, I looked it up. That's almost exactly the distance between Houston and Destin, Florida. A foot race. And it lasts for days. Ultra marathon. Maybe you know people that do that. I do not. And I'm certainly not open to running it. Driving it, yes. Running it, no. But a man named Cliff Young, they're getting ready to run. All these athletes and these ultra marathoners, you know, they got like zero body fat. They're getting ready to run. And a man, 61 years old, Cliff Young, in overalls and galoshes over his work boots, stepped up to the table to register. They thought he was joking. They looked at him and they went, you're kidding, right? He said, no, I really want to run. And so they said, okay. And they registered him and gave him a number, pinned it to his overalls. So he lines up there at the starting rate, and all these athletes are looking at him like, what is this old guy doing here? And they shoot the gun, and everyone takes off, and Cliff's got this weird shuffle, and he's just kind of shuffling along, and the other spectators are laughing, and they're actually mocking him. Someone actually yelled out, get that old fool off the racetrack. He disappears, and 5 days, 14 hours later, at 1:30, about 1:30 in the morning, Cliff Young comes in first. And not only did he come in first, I mean, he didn't win by minutes. He won by almost 10 hours. Number two was 10 hours behind. And all of a sudden, everyone's interested in the old guy with coveralls. They're like, how in the world did you do that? And they found out that he lived on pumpkin seeds and water. And the deal about Cliff is he never slept. He ran five straight days. The other runners, they would run and they would sleep for 3 or 4 hours. And while they're sleeping, Cliff is shuffling along. And he won the race, set an ultra marathon record. And in fact, his shuffle, they now call it the Young Shuffle. And they found out it's an energy saver. And they do it. Now here's my point. People may look at you and go, why do you think you can be close to God? I mean, who are you? Who is your family? Listen, it doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. What matters is that we're in this race and we're not quitting. Amen. And we're going to run and we're going to stay with God and we're going to keep. And a year from now, I'm still going to be with God. And 2 years from now, I'm still going to be with God and I'm going to reach as many. And let me tell you something. And I'm going to start saying this. I'm going to be closer to God a year from now than I am right now. And 2 years from now, I'm going to be closer than I am right now. And 5 years from now, I'm going to be closer. Because you'll never come to a place where God goes, okay, whoa, that's enough. That's close enough. You can come as close as you want to our great God who is good and good to you. And that makes all the difference in the world. Bow your heads just for a moment. This morning, if you're here and say, you know what, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure. Or maybe you're like I was and you had a relationship and you got far away from God. You know it. He knows it. But you want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front, but sitting right where you are, this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If that's you I'm talking to, obviously if you're online, I can't see you, but if that's you that I'm talking to and you're saying, Alan, I want to be sure where I am with God or I want to come back to him, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up real quick just across this auditorium? Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Anybody else to say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray? Would you pray? Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You really wanted to, but you didn't lift your hand. Well, this is a prayer. This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray with you. Online, I can't see you, but you can pray. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud here with other people. Pray it quietly. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Head still bowed just for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you. For those who have felt so distant from you and thought there was no hope, thank you, there is. For those who once were close and realized they need to come back, thank you that they can. Father, thank you for those who've never even broached the possibility that they could have a close relationship with you and that you care that much about them. Thank you that your light shines and your truth comes, and it's your truth that makes us free. Thank you for those who didn't wondered if life was even worth living. But thank you that they know it is, because you're great and you're good to them. And we give you all the praise for that. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.